hype that goes into Christmas. I know that I went shopping with my kids on Thursday night, I think it was. I took them up to the warehouse, and as we were walking through the warehouse, the kids stopped every like couple of minutes like, oh, I want this for Christmas. Can I get this for Christmas? Can I get one of these? There's all this hype and excitement and anticipation of what might happen tomorrow, what presents they might get. I don't know if your kids are the same. I don't know if you were like that when you were a kid. I remember when I was a kid, there was always a bit of excitement and anticipation of what might happen on Christmas. And there might be a particular gift that kind of stands out for you in your memory that you got on a Christmas day, or got a gift that was like, wow, that was amazing. And as I was at home that night, my kids were playing with my Metroplex. I don't know if you guys know who Metroplex is. Back in the day, for those who are Transformer fans, Metroplex was the Autobot city. And I think, must be one Christmas, it might have been 11 or 12 or something around that age, I got Metroplex, which is a robot about this tall. He's a robot, and you can transform him into a city, and you can transform him into like a mobile battle station. He was like the most incredible toy, and I remember being so hyped about this fulfilled expectation. I had this great anticipation of this amazing present, and I got this incredible Metroplex. And I still have him at home because he's still awesome, even after 30 years or something. But this whole anticipation, this whole excitement of what is yet to come. And really, when you look at a passage like Isaiah 9, this is really a hype kind of passage. This expectation of something that's yet to come is so incredible. And I know in the early days of hip-hop, when they first started being MCs, one of the parts of the hip-hop scene is that they used to have these incredible DJs. One of the earliest pioneers was a guy called Grandmaster Flash. I don't know if you guys have heard of Grandmaster Flash, one of the earliest kind of hype guys, and he had an amazing ability to DJ. But what the DJ needed was somebody to be their hype man, someone to get on the microphone to get the crowd excited, to get them off their feet and get them involved with what's going on. And Isaiah 9 is very much that kind of hype thing. It's the guy kind of get everyone excited for what is yet to come. Because Israel went through some really rough times, they went through some really bad times, they were kind of constantly in conflict, they were always under threat from the surrounding nations, there were times where they were prosperous, there were times when they were in famine, so they needed someone to hype them up and get them excited for something that was yet to come. And Isaiah 9 is a hype passage for the coming of the Messiah, meant to get people excited with anticipation of what is yet to come. And even though as we celebrate Christmas, we know that this has already happened, as we look back and read the hype of what this Messiah was meant to be, I believe that even now it should get us and can get us excited about the Christmas story. So let's just go through this together and see if we get a flavor for the hype and excitement of what it means for Jesus to come at Christmas. And it starts off in verse 2 like this. The people walking in darkness have seen a great light. On those living in the land of the shadow of death, a light has dawned. And it's great to think that what this message was to, this hype was to, was the people who were in darkness, who were in the shadow of death. And as we think about the course of human history, as we think about the big picture of creation and existence, the reality is that the whole world, the whole of time, from beginning to the end, is in a shadow of darkness. It is in the shadow of death. Ever since the fall of mankind, there has been death in the world. There's not a single one of us here who has not been tainted by death in some ways. We experience death in our own bodies by the frailties and the imperfections that we experience. We experience death in the world as we say have those who are near and dear to us pass away. We see death and violence and corruption and evil and famine all around the world, and we know that this whole world is tainted with that shadow of death. We know of the darkness that exists in the world. We see the darkness that maybe even exists in our own hearts, those hidden corners of ourselves that sometimes we don't like to acknowledge, where there is corruption, where maybe even there is evil, or maybe there is hate. There is darkness within us, and there's darkness without us, around us. As we see people do horrible things, or say horrible things, or neglect things they should be doing. We see this fact that there's darkness and death all around us. It was true for the people who first received the prophecy of Isaiah, and it is true for us today. That in this world there is death, there is darkness, but yet, for those people walking in darkness, for those living in the land of the shadow of death, they have seen a great light, or a light has dawned. And as I was reading this, these words, they have seen a great light, a light has dawned, it made me think of the Christmas star. The Christmas star that is so famous is a movie that's just been released called The Star, which focuses on this idea of the star leading people to where the Savior was going to be born. But even in the Christmas star, it is the fact that a light has come into the dark world to guide people out of darkness, to guide people away from the shadow of death, because light drives out shadows. In the presence of light, shadows can't exist. So the idea of the Christmas star, the idea of light coming into the world, chases away the darkness, brings people out of the shadow of death. And that's something that's worth getting excited about, something that's worth getting hyped about. As this hype passage continues, it talks about you have enlarged the nation and increased their joy. They rejoice before you as people rejoice at the harvest, as men rejoice when dividing the plunder. For as in the days of Midian's defeat, you have shattered the yoke that burdens them, the bar across their shoulders, the rod of their oppressor. There's a reason to be excited. There's great joy. There's joy as if that you just reaped the harvest of all your hard work so you have enough provisions for the year. It's like rejoicing when you've overcome your enemy in battle. It's the celebration and joy of having a great burden upon you released. The great joy of being able to take all that which is evidence of your conflict and your violence and your death and using it as fuel for the fire to produce something new and fresh and life-giving. These words tell us that the history of death and destruction, of bondage and oppression, are going to be undone and replaced with something new and beautiful and abundant and safe. And that should give us a deep sense of joy. All of us feel some weight of oppression. Some of us, all of us, carry some degree of burden in our life. And yet our great joy is knowing that in the coming of Jesus at Christmas, that great burden can be lightened, that oppression can be lifted, and that we can take all the evidence of the brokenness and the oppression and the violence of our past lives and use it as fuel in the fire of celebration of the freedom and life we have in Christ. The idea that these people who had suffered so much and were suffering so much could have a day when they would be free of all this heaviness and burden and violence is worth celebrating and worth being joyful of, worth being really excited about, as excited as if you had all your physical needs met, as excited as you could get if all your enemies, all your opponents were defeated. This idea that you could have true freedom from oppression and burden is worth getting excited about, to be joyful about. Because unto us a child is born. The reason we can be so joyful, the reason we can be so hopeful, the reason we can see death and darkness being chased away is because, for to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government will be on his shoulders. There is a child who has been brought into the world, given to us as a gift, who will carry the weight of the whole world on his shoulders. When we think of children, we think of fragility, we think of inadequacy, of incompetency. You see your kids trying to do things for the first time and they do it so terribly badly. You see the kids trying to take their first steps and they do it so clumsily. But yet to us a son is given, a child is born, and the government will be on our shoulders. The great weight of responsibility, of oversight, of leadership is going to be placed upon this child's shoulders. There is one who will take off all the pressure and burden from us of trying to run our own lives and organize our own lives and carry responsibility for our lives will be taken off us and placed upon this child. And this child will be magnificent. And they'll call this child all these incredible names. Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. What wonderful names for this child who is to be born to us, given to us. A Wonderful Counselor. A counselor is somebody who guides somebody on their path of physical and psychological and emotional and spiritual, someone who will lead us where we need to go. This great child given to us will lead us and guide us. It reminds us of the passage in Psalm 23, where he leads us into green pastures. This wonderful child who will take the responsibility of the world upon his shoulders will then lead us, me and you, into places of safety, into places of healing, into places of provision. He will counsel us. He'll be there for us when we need him, when we don't know what to do or what to say or where to go. Our wonderful counselor is always there for us. We cannot be separated from the love of our wonderful counselor. And not only is he a wonderful counselor, but he's a mighty God. A mighty God. God speaks to divinity. God speaks to power. God speaks to ability to affect things. You know, we use those omni words, omnipotent, all-powerful, omniscient, all-knowing, omnipresent, always there in every place. This child who's born to us and given to us is still the mighty God. It's one of the great conundrums of the faith. How can someone who's born as a baby still be the almighty God? How can this helpless child be the omnipotent king? I don't know. I can't answer that. But it's true. This child who came into the world at Christmas, who was given to us to take the responsibility and burden of the whole world upon his shoulders, can do that because he is the mighty God. He is someone who can do what he wants, whenever he wants, because there is none that can stand against the mighty God. Not only can he lead us and guide us, but he can make things happen because he has the power to make it happen. We're then told that this child is also the Everlasting Father. Again, one of these great conundrums of Christmas. How can someone who has always existed be born as a child, live and die, and still continue to exist? An Everlasting Father who is born as a child is a conundrum. But the fact that he is our Everlasting Father, again, is of great comfort to us. He's a wonderful counselor in leading and guiding us. He's a mighty God and being powerful to effect change. But he's also an everlasting Father. He will always love us. He will always care for us. He'll always provide for us. He'll always protect us. And now all of us have had flawless experiences of being a father. My children will not experience what it is to have a perfect father. But our Father in heaven, our everlasting Father promised to us at Christmas, is the perfect Father. A caring, loving, protective, providing Father. And that isn't just for a short period of time. It's an everlasting Father. We never are too big or too old or too experienced to need our Father in heaven. There's even earthly truths on that. There's still times when I ask Dad for help because I know that he has a particular range of skills. It's great having a father. You can say, look, can you help me? And I hope as Ashley gets older, he never outgrows the fact that, Dad, can I have some advice? Dad, can I talk to you? Having a father that's always there will be a tremendous thing. And many of us haven't experienced that. Many of us don't have that. But in God, we have this everlasting Father who will always care, always love, always protect, always provide. What a beautiful promise. It's worth being excited about. And the last thing he's called in verse 6 is the Prince of Peace. I love this, the Prince of Peace. And often when we think of peace, there's a couple of images that come into mind. You have the idea of peace, of tranquility, and of quietness, and of steady kind of stability. But then you have the idea of the Prince of Peace has to win the peace. And he has to go out and win the victory to subdue his enemies. So you have these two parts of this promise of the Prince of Peace. You have someone who can win peace, and you have someone who can create peace. Now, as we remember Christmas, we can always have to remember the cross as well. The stable, the manger, and the cross are inseparable. Because one without the other aren't going to work. So as Jesus was born as a baby on Christmas Day, he was born to win victory, to win peace against the spiritual powers of this world by his death and resurrection. He won peace for us on the cross. He defeated his enemies, sin and death, on the cross. Satan came under his heel on the cross, as was promised back in Genesis. And now his kingdom can be established and will be established and has been established for all time. And the eternal kingdom will be one of peace. The eternal kingdom that we have such anticipation for, that will stretch on into the future, will be one of peace. Not because it's going to be boring, not because it's going to be quiet, but it'll be one where there's no conflict, where there's no violence, where there's no oppression, where there's no injustice, where everyone will be united in heart and spirit in obedience to our Heavenly Father. That will be the peace that he establishes, where everyone is of one heart and one mind in the worship and service of our Almighty Savior. Christ in his coming has won us a peace for eternity. And it goes on in verse 7 to say, "Of the increase of his government and peace, there will be no end. He will reign on David's throne and over his kingdom, establishing and upholding it with justice and righteousness from that time on and forever. The zeal of the Lord Almighty will accomplish this." This incredible gift that we've been given, this incredible promise that God has for us, is one that isn't a past event to look back on and remember. It's something that has happened and is happening and will happen for eternity. We're not just looking back at a past event of Christmas. We are celebrating Christmas today, yesterday, and tomorrow, because the fact that Jesus came into the world to win peace for all time is something to continue to celebrate. His kingdom was established and is established and will always be established. Victory has been won, and that victory is permanent. And that is worth getting excited about. And I love the last line, "The zeal of the Lord Almighty will accomplish this." Why is this all going to come to pass? Why was this promise given hundreds of years before Jesus' birth going to come to pass? Why was that promise true and faithful? Because God really is passionate about this. This is what he was wanting to do. This is what he's committed to do. This is what gives him joy, is redeeming his broken people, bringing his lost children back to himself. This is what God is excited about. That's what his zeal is for, his passion is for, his excitement is for, is establishing this eternal kingdom full of his children. And his son that was given to us, Jesus, was part of that eternal plan. And it will come to pass, and it has come to pass. And the unfolding of the kingdom will come to pass because God is passionate about it. So often it's easy just to get caught up with the Christmas repetitive. Every year we have Christmas, we go through the same motions, we get together for the same family dinners, we do the present things, which is often a bit frustrating and annoying, and it's over before it started, and it's a bit of a fizzle, or we just grind through lunch with people we may not have seen the rest of the year. But Christmas is worth getting excited about. For the Jews who sat back there thousands of years ago reading a passage like this, there's stuff in here to be excited about. And as we try to deal with all the noise of commercialism and different ideas of Christmas and Santa Claus and presents and whatever it is, are we excited about the promises that have been made to us? When we read a passage like this, are we excited for that baby in a manger? When we sing our carols, when we sing our Christmas songs, are we excited about the person of Jesus? When we read that the child that was born is the wonderful counselor, the mighty God, the everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace, does it move you? Do you feel the excitement? Are you hyped? I hope that you are. I hope that Christmas isn't just another day. I hope that you don't only think about that baby on Christmas Day. Because every day, no matter what day of the year Jesus was born, it's worth celebrating the fact that a baby was sent into the world who would become a wonderful counselor, mighty God, everlasting Father, and the Prince of Peace. So let's celebrate. Let's be joyous and remember that baby became the Savior, which enables you and me to have a relationship with our Heavenly Father and to become members of that everlasting kingdom. Let me pray. Almighty God, I give you thanks that we can be so excited. We can be so excited about Christmas because it's a chance for us to remember that unto us a child is given who will be the Savior, who will bring us out of the shadow of death, who will bring light into the darkness. And Lord, for those of us here who have taken upon your Son as Savior, Lord, I give you thanks for giving us light, for giving us hope, for giving us peace, for giving us counsel, for being our everlasting Father, for being our Prince of Peace. And Lord, for those in our hearts and our families and our lives who do not know that great gift of Christmas, Lord, I pray that this tomorrow and every day as we celebrate the great gift of Jesus, that our joy and excitement and hype for you would be contagious and that people would catch the true meaning of Christmas because we can't help but have it bubble out of us.